This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment generously, as he does each week, on the capitals in the Ukraine conflict, adding the additional new capital of Washington, D.C., because nuclear weapons are much in the news and much in the discussion. It is the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis. 60 years ago, we were in a confrontation we know now that was as close to a nuclear exchange as the Cold War ever got, as close or closer. The information that was not available in 1962, much of it wasn't available for the next 20 or 30 years, and we still have more details to learn. The big pieces are to do with nuclear weapons. The Presidium, that was the controlling body of the Soviet Union at the time, had vouchsafed the deployment of tactical nuclear weapons to Cuba. That was part of the deployment of Soviet forces. So not only was there a threat of intermediate missiles that could carry nuclear warheads striking the U.S., but there was the threat of tactical nuclear weapons in Cuba in the event that the U.S. or its allies tried to intervene militarily. The important detail here is the people in Washington, the President of the United States, and his ex-com, his executive committee, nine men around him, did not know the tactical nuclear weapons were in Cuba, never did know for many years afterwards. They only knew that there were intermediate missiles in Cuba that were in place to be fired X or Y or Z in the event of nuclear war. Khrushchev had sent them there, having to do with the Cold War tactics of always answering an aggression with a counter-aggression. The big story that year was the Berlin crisis, not Cuba. Cuba was off to the right, but Khrushchev saw it an advantage, like a chess game, to make a move that Kennedy hadn't anticipated. Kennedy thought that Khrushchev was going to roll into Berlin and take it all over, and that there was nothing he could do. This was poor information on both sides, a tangle of wishes. Both sides were scared of nuclear weapons, and yet they were sitting there, unknown to Washington, known to the Soviets. But now we have to deal with what don't we know about Ukraine. Professor, a very good evening to you. We begin with Moscow's point of view. Moscow knows that it has tactical nuclear weapons. It knows whether it's deployed them or intends to deploy them. What is Moscow's point of view right now, given the unknowns that we can assume on the analogy that we didn't know important details 60 years ago about the Cuban Missile Crisis? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. What you say is very sobering and is therefore appropriate for what we're going to talk about today. The critical piece in the puzzle right now is Mr. Putin. He is losing. He's losing in the world, if anyone was watching the UN discussion this afternoon. He is losing support in Russia. I certainly, if I were him, I would not trust any of the people around me. And he's losing in Ukraine. However, he's unwilling to accept this loss. He simply, that's intolerable to him. But the problem is that neither he nor anybody else, whether his supporter or his opponent, has any idea of how he can terminate this conflict, let alone win it. So talk has begun in the West based on some Russian threats a while ago, actually, of the danger of nuclear war. We must always be aware that danger is there, all those nuclear weapons. We have the various nuclear powers have got enough nuclear weapons ready to go to end human civilization. Now, the first point I think we have to be aware of here is that although the nuclear threat is quite frightening, in a military sense, it makes no sense in Ukraine. In other words, nuclear weapon dropped in Ukraine is not going to help Putin at all. Some people are talking about him firing one sort of to the heartland, firing one from Kaliningrad toward Germany. I think that would be very unwise. But what has happened in the West is that various pundits are talking up this nuclear threat, and it has to be taken seriously. But we should also remember that this is part, this the group, the people who are publicly most worried about the nuclear threat are people who have had a particular view of how to deal with Russia, and particularly a rather favorable view of the possibilities of working with Putin for a long time. At a minimum, this goes back to the famous reset of 2009 to 2013. Now, as for Putin, we have to remember that he was appointed in 1999 by Yeltsin. It was a terrible mistake. And he was also supported very strongly by Gorbachev. At that time, he was the mayor of St. Petersburg. And both men, Yeltsin and Gorbachev, neither of them stupid, believed that he was committed to democracy. We should also point out that in his first two terms in office, he had one visit with President Clinton, four visits with President Bush, and then in his third term, after it turned out that he was messing around with the system and putting in Medvedev to sort of be a placeholder, he had a cordial visit with Mr. Obama in 2015, which was a year after the invasion of the Crimea. Well, what is the mistake that we have been making? Clearly, there's something wrong. There is a rather deeply subterranean, but nonetheless real, stream of thought in Washington that sees the end of the Soviet Union as having been a missed opportunity to end the Cold War, which indeed it was. But our mistake with Putin is to think that he is the one on that side who wanted to do that. We tend both to overestimate both his power and his how much time he's going to be in office. He's in a very precarious position, and also his knowledge and judgment. As we know, there were shots fired by a Putin bodyguard yesterday at a new Russian soldier who wanted to get closer to him for a picture because the soldier was such a patriot. Putin knows that he is in mortal danger all the time in Moscow. We all know, and I hope he knows too, that nuclear weapons could lead to catastrophe, but they're not going to lead to victory. So if they are used, I would argue that we should not respond in kind. We should avoid nuclear weapons. We should simply continue to do what we are doing, which is to keep helping the Ukrainians to defeat the Russians on the ground in Ukraine. That is the lowest, that's the option most likely to succeed, and it's also the one that takes us furthest away from the danger of nuclear escalation.
Professor H.J. Machender, International Relations, commenting on four points of view, Moscow point of view. We turn now to Kyiv's point of view with new threats having to do with the infrastructure, one by one being struck by so-called suicide drones Russia is deploying, purchasing from Iran. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.